Right now I'm joined on the phone by Paul Watson. He is founder of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society and was a founding director of the Greenpeace Foundation. Paul Watson was born in Canada on December 2nd, 1950. He was raised in the lobster fishing town of St. Andrews-by-the-Sea in New Brunswick. And he is currently working with a Sea Shepherd crew on the Farley Moat in the North Atlantic. And I'm going to bring him on right now. Hello, Paul Watson.
Hello.
So your ship, the Farley Moat, is currently in the North Atlantic, correct?
Well, yes. Right now we're on the tail of the Grand Banks in Newfoundland.
And what I'm wanting to talk with you about today is the Canadian seal slaughter that goes on. And I'm wondering if you have been able to in any way interfere with that this season.
Well, we first came into the ice on March 6th, so we spent a month and a half, first with the seal hunt in the Gulf of St. Lawrence, and which began on March 28th. And then we moved over to the Labrador Front, where the seal hunt was supposed to start on March 12th, and we were there. But what happened was this incredible storm came in and delayed that hunt, so it couldn't happen until the 15th. It forced all the sealing vessels into port, but, of course, we didn't have that kind of sanctuary, so we had to ride it out. The problem is that when the hunt started on Friday, we were 150 miles away. We couldn't push our way or fight our way back towards the coast because of the storm. But we were able to be there for the first 5 days and observe the storm and watch how, the sealing boats had to be rescued. There were over 400 distress calls put out by the sealing boats to the Coast Guard. And the same thing had happened in the Gulf a month before. The seal hunt was disrupted by heavy storms, and two sealing vessels were sunk, and about two dozen of them were badly damaged.
I'd like to talk a little bit more about the current situation, but maybe we should give people a little bit of background. First of all, can you tell us a little bit about your organization, the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society?
Yes, I set up the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society in 1977 as a marine wildlife conservation society, and we're not a protest group. What we do is we intervene to usually uphold international conservation laws like the regulations of the International Whaling Commission or oppose illegal fishing operations. In the case of the seal hunt, although it's legal in Canada, it's the quotas are excessive, and we've been challenging some of the laws. For instance, 11 of my crew were arrested in the Gulf for the crime of witnessing and documenting a seal hunt, which is illegal in Canada. So we will be going to court on that, and we'll be using the court case as a forum to challenge the constitutionality of these so-called seal protection regulations. Under the seal protection regulations, it's illegal pretty much to protect a seal. It's really the sealer protection regulations.
So it's illegal for someone from your organization or from the Humane Society or from the Fund for Animal Welfare to get within, what is it, a mile of the seals, supposedly to protect the seals, but in fact what it is to protect the quote, hunters while they do their work. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true, and you need a permit to do it, and I think IFAW and Humane Society of the United States did have permits. We did not. We all applied for the permits, but they would only issue the permits in the Magdalen Islands, which is the one place they knew I couldn't go because we had received death threats there, and the last time we went there, we were violently assaulted by the sealers. So, the other organizations could get their permits in Prince Edward Island, but we were specifically told we had to go to the Magdalen Islands. So it was sort of a catch-22 to make sure that we did not get the permits. But we weren't going to be put off by that, so we just went in without the permits and documented what was happening. We actually drove some sealers off the ice in the Gulf. At one point, seven of my crew were assaulted by sealers. One was struck with a hacka pick across the side of the head. A couple of cameras were damaged. We've now pressed assault charges against those sealers. But right after that assault, those crew were arrested by the government for approaching the sealers. So it's interesting, if you approach with a camera, you're arrested, but if you're attacked with a hacka pick or a club, then, they weren't arrested. They were charged later, but they weren't arrested at the time.
What is a hacka pick? And when you talk about that, can you describe this, quote, hunt that goes on? How many seals are killed, and how are they killed?
A hacka pick is a large club, a long club with a big steel pick on the end of it for driving it into the seal's skull. The quota this year was 320,000 baby seals. And the government wanted to kill 1 million seals over a three-year period. And this is the third year of that three-year period. Next year, they'll probably set a similar quota for the next 3 years. But that was the quota. It was 320,000. And the government says that they don't kill baby seals anymore. They only kill adult seals. But every seal that we documented and photographed and witnessed killed, being killed was under 7 weeks old. The difference is in the definition. The Canadian government defines an adult seal as any seal over 3 weeks of age.
So a lot of people don't realize this hunt is still going on because for about 10 years, I believe, it was stopped. How did it get started again? And why is this happening? Is this a big moneymaker for the Canadian government or what?
There's not much money in it. It's being done for two reasons. Political is the first reason. It's a tradition in Newfoundland, and politicians who want Newfoundland votes are supporting it. And it's also just the sheer stubbornness of the Canadian Department of Fisheries and Oceans. They're just not going to surrender. John Effort, who's the Canadian Minister of Natural Resources, is on record as saying he wants all of the seals exterminated. He says there's 6 million seals out there. In fact, there's a lot less. There's about 2 million. He says there's 6 million seals out there, and I don't care how they kill them, burn them, destroy them. The more they kill, the better. I love it. That's exactly what he said. And Canada's just being incredibly stubborn about that. That's one of the reasons that we've joined in with the Humane Society of the United States to promote a boycott of Canadian seafood. The Canadian seafood industry is worth about $2.3 billion, where the seal hunt's only worth $16 million. But over the last few years, the Canadian government has been spending millions of dollars going to other nations to motivate markets for seal products. And they're selling the seal penises to China, some sort of snake oil remedy for impotence. They're selling seal oil also to China as a heart attack preventer. In fact, it's heavily laced with PCBs and heavy metals, but they can't sell it in Canada, but they're selling it in China. And the other thing is they've started a market, or they've researched markets and built up markets for fur coats in Eastern Europe and Japan and China for the coats. So they're subsidizing the marketing research to try and get this industry going again. It's our objective to make sure that it doesn't get going again.
So you've described this as a big welfare program for these sealers, basically. So can you explain that? This is a government-subsidized thing. Like you just said, they're doing all this research to find the markets. So can you talk about what you mean when you say this is a big welfare program?
Well, for 10 years, they were actually giving money straight out to the Canadian Sealing Association and to keep them going while they try to find new markets for the seal products, because the hunt was ended back in 1984 when Europe banned seal pelts from entry into the EEC. And, of course, they're banned in the United States. And so it's not really a permanent employment. The people who are involved in the seal kill are fishermen who work for about no more than 3 weeks a year on this. And the average income is about $1,200. And in fact, we'd be better off if the government paid them not to kill seals. It would actually save money when you consider the cost of the direct and indirect subsidies. The indirect subsidies are the marketing and product research development, which is costing millions of dollars. And the direct subsidies are the cost of the icebreakers to break the boats into the ice, and the regulations and all of the other observations and reconnaissance flights that go to benefit the sealers.
If it's costing so much money to subsidize this hunt, what is the real motivation? You have said before that it is falsely accusing the seals of the collapse in the fisheries. It's the government's way of distracting the fishermen and blaming it on the seals. Is that the motivation behind it?
You know, that was the original motivation, and the problem is that the scientists have disproved the government's theory on that. They said that if we just wipe out these seals, the codfish will return. Well, the codfish fishery collapsed because of greed on the part of the drag trawlers that just took everything. So it was the fishing industry that destroyed the cod, and then they used the seals as the scapegoat, saying the seals are eating all the cod. But the scientists have proven that, in fact, if you want more of the cod to come back or recover, you need more seals and not less, because the biggest predator of cod are other fish, the very species that harp seals prey upon. So when you lower harp seal populations, you increase the predatory fish populations, causing a further decrease in the cod. the government is not saying that as of last year. They've abandoned that. But the problem is the Department of Fisheries and Oceans has pushed that argument for so long that they're just stubbornly resisting any accusations that they were wrong all this time. And so they're just going ahead with the program.
It's similar to going
ahead with the Star Wars program, even though it was no longer necessary.
It's politics. It's kind of like you, maybe it's not quite the best analogy, but you frame somebody up on a false charge, and even though you're having to lie to prop it all up, if you admitted the lies, then it would, you'd probably lose your job, your reputation, and everything. So what are the alternatives? I know that you've explored some alternatives to these seal, you know, quote, hunters that are actually going out and bludgeoning babies to death. You have explored some alternatives to this that might bring some income other ways, like tourism, like combing the molted fur, and there was someone who wanted to make bedding out of it. Can you talk about some of the alternatives that were rejected that probably would have been more viable,
Tourism is definitely an alternative, but unfortunately what they're doing is having their cake and eat it too. You know, they bring the tourists out on the first 2 weeks and then kill them in the third week. But I did develop an idea where the baby seals, the white coats, naturally lose their hair after 2.5 weeks. And you can literally brush it off or pluck it off because it's been detached from the body. And the hair follicles are very similar to eiderdown. They're hollow follicles that retain heat. And I found a company in Germany called Kirchhoff that will, they would buy this in order to make bed comforters and clothing for cold weather gear. And would pay $250 a kilo for it, which is about 100 seal pups altogether. And so we actually developed an idea that could actually provide jobs in the area and be a project where you could have sort of a non-lethal, cruelty-free form of sealing. And I went there in 1995 to the Magdalen Islands to promote this, and I was there with actor Martin Sheen when we were attacked by 300 sealers who smashed into our hotel, and I was severely beaten. In fact, their exact words were, "We don't want anything to do with a faggoty idea that, like, brushing seals. Seals are meant to be clubbed, not to be coddled."
Was that said by a marine fisheries officer, or was that said publicly, or was that said privately?
That was said publicly by the head of the sealing union in the Magdalen Islands.
And he said, again, "We don't want anything to do with this faggoty notion of combing seals. Seals are to be clubbed."
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they're meant to be clubbed, not to be coddled, is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened after that is the government, because of the violence that was directed at us, the government responded by, in fact, the Minister of Fisheries said, he actually said, "I understand the frustration of the fishermen, and therefore I can understand, you know, the violence that they committed." In other words, you know, when they commit violence, it's okay. But, you know, we just call a boycott, and we're called economic terrorists. You know, we've never heard anybody.
Right.
But the thing is that the government then refused to allow me any more research permits and refused to allow me to hire anybody to go out and brush seals. So they just dismissed the idea and they basically made it illegal for me to do that.
In fact,
one of the things that was really funny about it is that the government said that brushing seals would be harassment of the seals and therefore in the interest of the safety and health of the seals, we're not going to allow it.
In your book, Seal Wars, you talk about how actually the baby seals that were molting that beautiful white fur, how they actually enjoyed it.
Well, yeah, they like it because it's very itchy. So, you know, if you brush them, it's just like brushing a kitten or a puff dog, really. You know, they seem to enjoy it. We've got a lot of documentation of that.
Can you describe the seals? Supposedly, they're not killing the white coats. Which is what most people see, you know, little stuffed animals, harp seals, or the pictures, the posters and things, the really cute little white baby seal. Supposedly, they're not clubbing the white coats. Can you talk about that?
Well, when they're born, they're first called yellow jackets. They've got a sort of a yellowish color, and then after 1 week, they get this white coat, which they have until they're 2.5 weeks old. They're really, they put on quite a bit of fat each day, so they grow big each day, and then about at 3 weeks they become what they call raggedy jackets, where they begin to lose their hair, and that's when the molting stage is happening. And then at 4 weeks they're called beaters, and their baby seals are not much bigger than the others. They're not as puffy because they don't have that white coat anymore. Very cute little things and totally helpless. So the ones that the sealers are actually killing on the ice have no way of defending themselves. They're not in the water yet, and they're being attacked by the sealers on the ice, and they can't escape from them.
Well, you said that you've been observing, and in some cases intervening in the last few weeks during this hunt. Can you talk about what you've documented? And while you talk about that, could you also talk about what other groups like the Animal Welfare Fund and the Humane Society, some of the things they've documented as well?
Well, Bob Talbot was out there, and, you know, from Monterey, he was out there doing it. He got some terrific footage of the seals being killed, including documentations of violations where they were inhumanely killed. The Humane Society of the United States and the International Fund for Animal Welfare were taking helicopters to the ice and also documenting the hunt. We were not only documenting it, but we were actually getting in the way of the sealing boats, blocking them in the leads, forcing them to turn back, and putting crew out on the ice every time they would land on a pan, and that would dissuade them from coming on the ice, so we were able to protect that patch of seals here and a patch of seals there. So actually, we were being a bit more of a nuisance than anybody else out there, so and our crew were very good at doing that. But the government tried everything to try and stop me on the ice. I just ignored them. They told me that I was had no business with the ship in there, and I said, well, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here. And they didn't make any attempt to arrest us. And I think the reason being is that the only people who are capable of arresting my ship are the mounted police. And when we talked to the Mounties, they said, well, you know, we're only concerned with criminal situations here, and regulations of the Department of Fisheries and Oceans are not really our concern. So the Department of Fisheries and Oceans officers really didn't have the power to take my ship. And without the assistance of the Mounties, we were pretty much free to do anything we wanted out there as long as we didn't commit a crime.
Now, it's been documented by the International Fund for Animal Welfare and others that many of these seals, I think I heard a figure of perhaps at least half are killed inhumanely, and that many are skinned alive. Can you describe exactly, you know, what goes on?
Well, I've seen, over the years, I've seen many seals that have been skinned while still alive. This last, in the Gulf here, 2 weeks ago, I saw a sealer go up and kick a seal pup in the face without using the club and then begin skinning it while it was moving. Bob Talbot filmed one of the seals that had actually been skinned and was still crawling across the ice. So there's a lot of violations. The Canadian government says it's 100% humane. There's not a single violation, which is an absurd statement to make. You know, when you have guys walking across the ice, bashing animals, kicking animals, shooting animals, you know, these guys aren't 100% marksmen, and a lot of the seals are wounded and go beneath the ice and die later. So it's an incredibly inhumane hunt. But the government is sort of goes, you know, it keeps saying that if they repeat the lie often enough that it's 100% humane, people will begin to believe it.
In your book, Seal Wars, you describe a scene. Unfortunately, I can't remember exactly how you heard of this or if you saw it, but where some sealers were actually like playing a game with body parts of seals, of baby seals.
Yeah, the source of that is Mickey Dwyer. Michael Dwyer wrote a book called Over the Side, Mickey. It was about his experience as a sealer on the ice, and he said how they cut off the head of a baby seal and use the bodies as goalposts and play hockey with the head. They call it head hockey. In fact, Mickey Dwyer, he also said, you know, the animal rights people call us barbarians. Well, all I can say to that is that you have to be a barbarian to do what we do out there. And in fact, his books, both on sealing and on the fishing industry, are probably one of the best exposés of the cruelty that's involved in these industries.
What's his name again?
Michael Dwyer.
And his books?
The book on sealing is called Over the Side, Mickey, and the book on fishing is called Sea of Heartbreak. Mm. And it shows how these guys shoot at whales and dolphins and polar bears when they're up in northern Labrador. Anything that moves, they pretty much take a shot at while they're out there on the boats.
So you yourself have also been attacked. You mentioned that when you were in the Magdalen Islands in 1996, I believe, in a hotel with Martin Sheen, that a mob of sealers basically almost killed you, beat you very badly. And there was another incident you describe in Seal Wars where you were, you handcuffed yourself or chained yourself to one of the the chains that was drawing up the pelts onto a boat, onto a sealing boat, and they plunged you repeatedly into freezing water and dragged you up on the deck, plunging your face into seal skins. And so you've been almost killed a couple of times. What do you think it is that is going on with these men that they're so violent? And what are the Mounties and the Marine Fisheries officers that witness a lot of this stuff doing about it? Are they doing anything about it?
Well, we're considered traitors to Canada for, you know, exposing this to the rest of the world. And we don't get much sympathy from the courts or from the authorities, and haven't over the years. I've been beaten up three times by sealers and once by Department of Fisheries police and mounted police officers. And, that's what I actually ceased being a Canadian in my heart back in 1979 when I was on the deck of the icebreaker Wolf being kicked and pummeled by fisheries officers, and all around me baby seals were being pumped to death. And that's when I said, you know, I just can't be part of this country. You know, I'm a an eighth generation Canadian, and I just said, this is not something I can have any pride in at all.
Can you talk again about what people can do about this incredibly inhumane situation that's
happening? The most effective weapon we have is the boycott of Canadian seafood products, which is a $2 billion industry. And so what we're trying to do is to get restaurants and distributors to not buy Canadian seafood products. All we have to do is make more than a $16 million dent in order to start making sure that the seal hunt is no longer profitable. And the Humane Society of the United States is working hard on this. We're working hard on this, and we're going to be recruiting in Europe and Asia and Australia and North America as many restaurants and stores as possible to boycott Canadian fish products.
So how do you know if something you're buying is from Canada?
The products will usually say made in Canada, for instance, like Connor's sardines, Brunswick sardines. And, you know, what we're going to do is go to the restaurants, and they know who the distributors are. So people can boycott Canadian fish products by looking at the labels in the supermarkets, and then we're going to try and get stickers like a seal of approval to go on restaurants who have agreed to not purchase this. Already legal seafood restaurants on the East Coast have agreed not to buy Canadian products as long as the seal hunt is going on.
Is there particular seafood that people could avoid, you know, if they're buying it from a seafood counter or something where they don't really know for sure if it comes from Canada? Is there certain types of seafood that they should know to avoid?
Well, one of the big products from Newfoundland is the snow crab fishery. That's one of their biggest industries. So snow crab, definitely. Brunswick sardines, definitely. And Canadian lobster. And, of course, British Columbia salmon, sockeye salmon, BC Packer salmon, different. And so, but all you have to really do is look on the labels if it says made in Canada.
So it's probably very important not just to boycott the Canadian seafood, but to let the Canadian government know that you're boycotting it, right? Would that
absolutely
be?
Absolutely, that certainly.
And
makes
how
a
do
big
you do that?
Too.
Do you have that information on your website, or?
Yes, we do.
Okay, and your website is
www.cshepherd.org.
cshepherd.org. So, what if you're a vegetarian and you don't eat seafood? Should you go ahead and tell them you're boycotting Canadian products in general?
Well, yeah, I think that that would certainly also send a strong message. We've actually been advocating over the years a boycott of tourism to Canada, but one of the reasons that we're focusing on the seafood industry is because this is the industry which is responsible for this. And it is a dilemma. I know we're vegetarians. Our whole ship is a vegetarian vessel.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a dilemma, you know, because people who don't eat fish can't really boycott fish. But there are a lot of people who do, and a lot of people who are concerned about the seals. So, you know, we should, if people who don't eat seafood, the best thing to do is to make their concerns known to the Canadian government. If enough people are protesting this, they'll get the message. For instance, on March 15th, we had people demonstrating in consulates and embassies in over 40 countries around the world, and that certainly sent a strong message to Ottawa. I mean, there were people demonstrating in front of Canadian embassies in San Jose, Costa Rica, in Yugoslavia, in Russia, in South Africa. So they certainly were taken a bit by surprise. In fact, Canada has already admitted, and the Canadian or the Newfoundland Minister of Fisheries has admitted that they really were not expecting this kind of a protest this year, and admitted that this is the strongest year that it, of protest ever against the seal hunt.
So some other suggestions that you have on your website are signing the international petition demanding that the Canadian government stop the slaughter, also writing letters to the editor of your local paper trying to get the media, local media, to cover this. And you also have a public service announcement with Martin Sheen that can be obtained for local broadcast and cable stations. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, Martin Sheen did a public service announcement, which if anybody wants a copy of that, we'd certainly send it to them if they want to bring it to their local cable or, you know, affiliates or whatever to get run on television. I think it really, illustrates what's happening there and tells people how to get involved. And, of course, our website has all the different contexts and how people can get involved in different ways.
Is there anything more that you want to say about the seal hunt season this year or anything else that we didn't cover that you wanted to make sure people heard?
Well, what we did this year was to do the best we could with the resources we had, and we were certainly not very fairly matched. It was our one ship up there against 100 sealing vessels in the Gulf and 350 sealing vessels on the front, so we were certainly outmatched. But our intention, our objective, was to draw as much international attention to this as possible, and I think we were able to do that. I think we got a good working and cooperative coalition with the Humane Society of the United States and the International Fund for Animal Welfare, the only two other organizations that were up there. And I would certainly welcome other organizations to get involved in this alliance. The more groups that get involved with it, the better. That would give us a lot more strength to oppose the government.
Must be very... Go ahead.
Sorry?
No, go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
Well, you know, it's a little disconcerting when groups like, the World Wildlife Fund and Greenpeace, the group that I co-founded, actually support the seal hunt. So that's a little, frustrating.
How can they do that? What justification do they give for that?
I don't know what Greenpeace's reasons are for it. I know the World Wildlife Fund just says, well, it's a sustainable hunt. But, here's an organization that can't even save their own symbol, the panda. So, the problem is that groups like the World Wildlife Fund receive a lot of government funding, so they have to be very, careful about who they criticize. And in this case, they're not really going to criticize the Canadian government because they do receive funding.
How can they say, do you disagree with that statement that it's a, quote, sustainable harvest?
I don't believe it's a sustainable harvest at all. I mean, this is the largest slaughter of a marine mammal population anywhere in the world. The quotas are exceeded every year, and they don't make any effort to lower the quotas based on the overkill the year before. I think that they're trying to wipe these seals out.
How is this?
But they're not only threatened by just the hunt, they're also threatened by global warming. These are seals that depend upon ice, and there's less and less ice every year. And they're also threatened by heavy metal toxic poisoning. And the other big threat is that there's simply the fish are being diminished, so even their food source is being diminished.
And how is the seal slaughter affecting the environment, the general environment there? Because you mentioned earlier that good, healthy seal populations might actually help the fish population.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons for this diminishment of many of the fish species is this disruption of the prey-predator relationship throughout the ecosystem. You know, when Europeans first came to eastern Canada 500 years ago, there was an estimated 40 million seals, including the walrus, which is now extinct on the East Coast, but there were walrus colonies all up and down the East Coast. And now with, less than hardly 3 million, even if you use the government's figure 6 million, which I think is inflated, how could they possibly blame these seals for the decline in the fisheries? When there were 40 million seals, there was certainly no shortage of fish. Cod is now less than 1% of its number from 500 years ago. The reason for all of this is a total disruption of the marine ecosystems by targeting species after species. Once they eliminate one species, going to the next species. For instance, as soon as they wiped out the codfish, they went for the redfish. And as soon as they wiped out the redfish, they moved to snow crab. So, you know, it's just let's wipe it out and go to the next one. That seems to be the management program. The reason that the fisheries have collapsed in Canada, both on the East Coast and the West Coast, is the gross incompetence and mismanagement of the Canadian Department of Fisheries and Oceans. And they're the same people who are trying to so-called manage seal hunt.
Has there been any lawsuits against the Canadian government for either the inhumane treatment of these baby seals or the environmental impacts?
It's almost impossible in Canada to sue the government. You know, first of all, you have to sue to get permission to sue, which could take up to 10 years. So it's, you know, people have tried it, but it's a very frustrating thing to do. I think that one of the things we do have going for us this year is that the latest revelations, a scandal in the Canadian government, that the Canadian Liberal Party has now been exposed as being one of the most corrupt and scandal-ridden governments in the history of the country. And so their credibility is very low. It's about $100 million in bribes that politicians were taking from a slush fund set up to promote Canadian unity, of all things. But this has all just come out in the last month. So the government is weakened. There may be an election, and hopefully with a change of government, things might change.
I actually thought of a question I didn't remember to ask you earlier, and that is, you mentioned that they kind of balance, like they use tourism to make money. They bring tourists in to see the baby seals. It's really peaceful. They're out there on these ice floes, and it's very, you know, they're calling for their mothers, and it's just this beautiful, amazing, idyllic, paradisical scene. And they bring the tourists out to enjoy this, and then for 2 weeks, and then in the third week, you say they come in and slaughter these animals totally inhumanely, and it's just a bloodbath. I don't understand why these tourists don't know that they're looking at baby seals that are going to be clubbed in a couple of weeks, or skinned alive, or hack-a-picked, or whatever. Why aren't they knowing about this and doing something about it? They should be saying, we're not going to come and support your tourist industry if you kill these animals. What's happening there?
You know, that's always been a mystery to me, why that, you know, a lot of people who do ecotourism tours don't really get involved in actually doing anything about it. We have the same problem in another area where we're working in the Galapagos. You know, tourism is the big moneymaker in the Galapagos, but the tourists are, and the tourist industry are so quiet about the illegal thing that's going on and destroying the ecosystem and pretty much their industry. So that's always been something I've never really understood. But, you know, trying to organize a boycott of tourism to go see the seals would also have the problem in that, you know, this is an alternative, and we don't really want to discourage the alternative, which is to, you know, have people make a living from bringing people out to see seals. But unfortunately, it's been abused. A lot of the same people who take these people out to see the seals are the same people who 2 weeks later go out and kill them.
Is there any way you could educate those people? Maybe not call for a boycott, but somehow get through to them and educate them that these wonderful animals that you're enjoying right now are going to be killed by, in some cases, the very same people that are taking you out to see them. Is there any way to get through to these folks that are going out to see the seals?
Well, you know, hopefully that people will see, you know, the information that we're putting out, though. I know I've confronted sealers, tourists, actually. I've confronted tourists out on the ice. And I've tried to explain to them, and it's rather bizarre sort of reaction. One tourist said, I don't want to hear about that. That just upsets me. And people sort of, I want to come here and enjoy these seals. I don't want to have my vacation ruined by you telling me stories about what's going to happen to them in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
People are a little strange that way.
Yeah. I had your book, Seal Wars, which I really, really enjoyed, and of course it was tragic at the same time in many ways, with me one day when I was going on a hike. I was with a group of people, we were going hiking, and somebody saw the book, and I was telling them about the seal hunt, and they just said, I don't want to hear it, it's just too upsetting to me. And I understand that reaction, but on the other hand, it's so important for people to know about these things, and also the actions that you're asking people to take are so simple. I mean, to boycott Canadian seafood or Canadian products, or write to the Canadian government and tell them you oppose it. These are not hard things to do, and maybe people could take that outrage or that feeling of pain when they hear about it and turn it into something where they take that and write a letter or go to the website and say they're, you know, sign the petition or say that they're going to boycott Canadian seafood. So I don't know. Sounds like what you're asking is pretty simple of people. It's not too major. And if enough people do it, it really could make a difference. I mean, isn't that what stopped the hunt for 10 years? Was this kind of boycotts and actions by groups like yours? Is that what stopped it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was a lot of work to do that. The problem is, you know, our victories are almost always temporary. And over the period of time that the hunt was shut down, people forgot about it. In fact, up until now, I think a lot of people thought, oh, well, that's over and done with years ago. I think one of the things that we were able to do this year is to make people around the world realize that this hunt is not over, and it's going, in fact, the kill quota is now higher than they ever have been in the last 100 years.
Wow. Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Paul. I really appreciate it. And again, the website is seashepherd.org to learn more. Thank you again, Paul.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Captain Paul Watson. He is with the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, and their website, again, is seashepherd.org. They're currently in the North Atlantic. They were recently confronting sealers. They were helping get the word out about this incredibly brutal hunt that continues, and as Paul said, the quotas go up every year. A lot of people don't realize that they're still clubbing and skinning alive and all kinds of horrible things. These hundreds of thousands of these baby seals every year, these harp seals. You probably know the harp seal. If you go down here on the pier, you can see the stuffed little white seals with the cute black eyes and all that being sold as toys. And you'll see, you know, posters and t-shirts of these animals. They are very widely known about, and a lot of people have affection for them, but unfortunately they're still being clubbed and skinned, and hundreds of thousands of them every year. So again, what sea shepherds are asking is that people boycott Canadian seafood and that they let the Canadian government know that they're boycotting the seafood. There's also an international petition demanding that the Canadian government stop this slaughter that you can go to their website and sign on to. And the website, again, is seashepherd.org. They also have a Save the Seals public service announcement that you can obtain for free by going to their website or calling this number. And it has Martin Sheen in it. It's something that could be played on your local cable channel or put forth to for local broadcast. The number to get that free PSA is area code 360-370-5650. I'll say that again in a moment. It sounds like the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, although Paul Watson didn't mention this, could definitely use a donation from you, because it sounds like they were pretty outnumbered up there with 100 sealing ships and only one Sea Shepherd ship opposing this. And if you want to make a donation, again, go to their website at seashepherd.org. Again, the number for that public service announcement with Martin Sheen, the Save the Seals PSA, is area code 360-370-5650, and it is free. So check out their website, take a simple action, let the Canadian government know you're boycotting Canadian seafood till they stop this slaughter.